This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Are you there, Sam?
Yep, hang on, I'm just turning that on.
Is our guest ready?
Yep, I've got the music ready.
Can you hear me okay?
Yep, sounds great.
Cool. Otago Access Radio, in partnership with Otago Polytechnic, brings you Blowing Bubbles.
Blowing Bubbles brings you positive conversations with people in their bubbles around the world.
We're curious about how people are finding new ways of life, being and problem solving. Every Wednesday, the Sustainable Lens team of Samuel Mann and Mawira Karatai reach out from our bubbles to chat with interesting and positive people around the world.
Broadcast on Otago Access Radio, 105.4 FM in Dunedin, and streamed and podcast on oar.org.nz.
Bringing joy, connection, kindness and peace in all the days ahead.
Welcome to Blowing Bubbles, positive conversations with people in their bubbles, their safe spaces around the world. I'm Samuel Mann in Dunedin, and I'm joined by Mawira Karatai. Kia ora, Mawira.
Kia ora, Sam. How's it going?
Going very well indeed. Did you survive your floods?
Yes, we did, but gosh, there's a lot of water around, and it will only get worse. So as horrible as that is to think about, that is the reality of climate change. It will get worse.
We visited your friends on the road between Whakatane and... where is it called? Hotoki.
Yes.
Are they dry?
That road was flooded and closed in four places.
It's not great. Right. We went to somebody who was restoring a wetland.
Yes, that was all underwater, which is kind of helpful for a wetland.
Well, that's what a wetland's supposed to do. It's supposed to act as a sponge. Yes.
Yep, indeed it does. But yeah, it's all the it's all of the runoff from all the hills and the slash that comes down out of the forestry and all of those kind of things that just make it so problematic.
Let's not talk about problems. Let's talk about good things. Who are you introducing today?
Speaking of good things, it is my great pleasure to introduce the wonderful Sam Summers from It's in the Ballot. Welcome, Sam. It is wonderful to have you here with us today.
Thank you for having me. And it's another different interview of the very many coming up in this local body elections.
It's in the ballot. It's a play on It's in the Bag, right? You're allowed to say that?
It is based on It's in the Bag. So the show takes on the TV show format of It's in the Bag, of going to the local community town hall. And my friend Mel suggested that as a name, and then Auntie Susie her suggestions are very good suggestions. She said, well, Selwyn Toogood, you had the prizes in the bags, so why don't you have the questions in the bags? Well, boxes are a bit easier than bags because you can sit there and seal them. So that's how it's kind of got its bit of a theme of the show. Started off, basically with all the questions in the boxes. Then there's been tweaks as the years gone on. I mean, we've now got to the point where candidates now get button cards to button their answers to other people's questions, and got deferred cards when those questions are a bit too curvy and don't want to answer them.
So have you done this before?
Oh, yes. It's our fourth election year over the last 5 years to do It's in the Ballot. And each year there's been an evolution of improvement as time goes on.
And you're focusing on North Island?
Yes. Well, we can drive there. We haven't got the Cook Strait in the way.
So how did it come about?
So I stood for Greater Wellington Regional Council both in 2016 and 2019. Now, if you were in Wellington, or if you followed media, in 2018, Wellington had a wholesale network bus change to the network. And it led to, in 2019, a substantial number of candidates standing for office. And that was 25 people still for Greater Wellington Regional Council in the Pōneke Wellington constituency. which made it very difficult when going around to meet the candidates, because some of them would also invite the ward councillor candidates, the mayoral candidates. We had DHBs back then, the DHB candidates. And they would try to cram, and some of them were crammed into like a 90-minute period. So how were you meant to sit there and say what you stood for and answer questions if you're literally, hi, my name's Sam, I'm standing for regional council, goodbye. It wasn't really that particularly helpful. And then at the same time, some of the friends who didn't go to these Met candidates, and I went to so many in 2019, it was not funny, they were ringing me up, who are these candidates? What do they stand for? Should I vote for them? Should I not? And it got more confusing when it crossed different wards as well. You know, I mean, I kind of took more attention of the ward I lived in, but the wards outside I lived in, not to the same extent. And so there was a lot of people who wanted to vote. They knew who to vote for the regional council, but they had no clue who else there was to vote for. And they felt quite confused when it came to the ballot paper. So it was something that we looked at for the 2020 general election. And COVID hit. So this was thought about before COVID hit and before the whole online streaming stuff. Because when you said you stream stuff online, people just looked at you and go like, what? Like it was a foreign concept. And now everyone sits there and goes, are you live streaming it? So that was something in there. So we and we kind of shelved it a bit back in 2020 because COVID hit. It threw a lot of things out at the time. And then we pulled off a very small version of the show. Back then it was 40 boxes. We didn't have any of the button cards or anything. We did have what was called booby question prizes, which were get our jail free cards. And Paul William Wood, who was standing for the Palmerston North as a young 18-year-old for the National Party, got three out of four of the booby cards. So we did eight electorates, which were Wellington Central, Rongotai, Hutt South, Rimutaka, Mana, Otaki electorate, and Palmerston North. And we did it. It was a bit of fun, met some good candidates, got to admit the views weren't the flashiest online. We learned a lot about the technology. You've got to have a decent computer to do the job. You can't sit there and have it all done on web cameras, and got everything all going. 2021, there wasn't any elections or by-elections or anything that was worthy of it. And our target was 2022 local body elections by covering all the councils in the 04 Wellington telephone calling area. And we got a purpose-built computer, which is also why I'm coming off today, that had the ability to receive HDMI camera inputs and could sit down there and have the whole camera changing software and everything all in the... Basically did all the jobs in it on the one computer. And 2022, I would say, is the year we went mainstream.
Okay, let's squeeze in the first of your songs. Let's have I'm Good. Are you good? I'm good. Let's have I'm Good, David Guetta and Phoebe Rasho. Why this one?
It's a nice feel-good vibe song that just kind of like you could be stuck in traffic and the song comes on the radio and it just kind of takes the tension off while you're stuck trying to get your way through the terrace tunnel or something. It's one of those feel-good songs that I feel, you know, lifts vibes, inspirational. It lifts the mood.
Time.
Is your mood lifted, Mawira?
My mood is lifted.
Yay!
What a great tune. We love that. Sam, with the questions that the candidates answer, where do they come from?
From the community.
And how does that happen?
So we post around on social media question forms that go around. We have a toll-free number, 0508 ballot, that people could ring to do it. I've got to be honest, not many people actually have chosen that option. But you can go in and put it in there, and then 5 days before the show, we cut off the questions, we sit there and send them off for moderation, and then the graphics get all done, and the question cards get made up, and the questions get sent to the candidates so they can prepare, I'd like to call it informed responses, so that when it comes to the shows, you don't have to go, they just have to go, my answer is da-da-da-da-da. And and you get them off there because you only get one answer on it. It's in the ballot to answer your question, and then you get a bit of a buzzer when the time's up. So you want to get, you know, we want to cut out the ums and ahs in that sort of thing. And so, and also the community knows more about what the local issues are in there. Like, I could tell you absolutely a lot about Wellington and Greater Wellington issues, but if you sit there and say, put me into Whakatane, for example, I wouldn't have known the road was closed in four different spots between Whakatane and Opotiki. All I know was the road was closed.
Yep. Yeah. So that local knowledge makes a difference. But is there consistency? Like, do you find that there's some things that just keep popping up no matter where you are?
A lot of people complain about the level of how much rates are being charged at. But I think there's also something, as known as Kenneth has stood, there's a lot of not the best understanding of how rates works, because it's based on property value, but it's not actually based on property value, it's based on an expense budget. And so people, but some people look at going, well, my rates are too high because it's based on property value, but it's not based on someone's income. So that's something that does prop up often, and dogs. So you do see, wherever you go, there's always people who are passionate about their dogs and about dog parks and that sort of stuff. So that's something that is quite consistent across the board. And I'd say, I'm just trying to think, I'm not, like, there's some variations depending on the areas. Some areas are very anti-by-election. Some areas are a little bit more understanding of it. I'll be honest, though, more those bigger by land area councils tend to respect by-elections a bit more than, say, like Wellington City Council. Like, you mentioned the word by-election, Wellington City Council, people sit there and scream, the sky's falling in. Whereas other areas, they just get on and do it.
Yeah. What's the, of all the questions you've been asked so far, what was the one that surprised you most?
Oh, questions that surprise. Oh, there's so many of them. I've lost. Because effectively, I'm like reading them out, I'm not actually answering them. Trying to think. Surprise the most.
That's a tricky question. Sorry, yeah, I'm trying to figure
where there could have been something that could have been way off kilter from what was expected. Why can I ward Kapiti Coast District Council 2022? And it was about an urupa.
Ah.
Yes, it came up that a urupa was in the southern half of Waikanae Beach, and houses were built on top of it.
Oh, it's always so bad when that happens.
Yes, and it was one that must have not been picked up. Because I remember another incident, this is a kid in Paraparaumu, they had one that was picked up in Paraparaumu that they discovered, it had an undiscovered past site. And so the whole past site has been turned into a memorial, and the houses were built outside of the past site. But it's in Waikanae Beach, that was left pretty much undiscovered until 2020, I think it was. It might have been a bit earlier. You'll have to talk to, Jordan Waynesborough. He knows a lot more about that than I do, but it was, that I would say that was probably our most unexpected curveball question that went to the candidates.
A lot of the candidates, especially female, and especially female Māori, are experiencing high levels of horrendous abuse at the moment from some pretty nasty creatures. Mm. Are you seeing that come through in the questions as well? Do you see any hint of that?
In some areas, yes. In some areas, no. I think a lot of the people, they don't quite get to the point of filling out the question form. Like, we've had nasty messages come in on our channel to say you should be asking this and we demand it to be asked this way, which is misogynist and nasty. And yeah, it's like, well, you actually haven't followed the process. But occasionally they do come through. But yeah, I think with the filtering out, you can filter them out. And the other thing is, if you come out with something that's complete misogynist or nasty, if we can't gather a question out of what you're saying, it's not going to end up in the show. But if it is, we possibly would turn it into something that ain't quite so provocative, so that it gets a more positive response, not a one that just sits down there and upsets basically the general crowd. But yes, there are some people in there. One of our Māori ward shows, Te Whanganui Tara show, and literally we had from a anti-Māori, anti-vaxxer person in, was it the South Island, so not even based in Wellington, criticising about how we were ramming down a Māori ward, was it against her will, which she didn't have to watch the show, but she chose to. And she chose to actually, like, take offence to it. And, like, our one is like, we don't care if it's a Māori war or a general ward. The candidate deserves to be covered. If we're going, sorry, you're in a Māori ward, exclude you, that's discrimination.
Yeah.
You know, that's not part of the inclusiveness brand if it's in the ballot. So, so that's something we've seen. I would say not so much with females from 2022. 2023 was an interesting election itself, where we didn't get many people from Labour or National on the show. So a lot of that possibly didn't quite end up in the comments of the show or anything. So we didn't see that during the live streams. And the questions, I mean, those people aren't always the best at filling out question forms.
Yeah.
Which means if they don't fill out the question form, it doesn't end up in the system properly.
How do you deal with it if it comes? So, like, I've had a look at the list of candidates standing in some of our wards, and some of them are questionable, I have to say. And so I know that there's going to be, like, I'm predicting some problems in some of the comments that will be made. How do you deal with that on the day to keep everyone else safe?
We have to try and take it as it comes. We've called out comments before that have been in the streams. One of the things we do is they are filtered. So one of the things we can do is we can put comments across the screen. However, if the comments are offensive, our remote editor, Stacey, she won't put them on at all.
Right.
And so that part is in there. So they might appear in the chat, but they won't be showcased. So, and because we would, you know, put comments on there to show, you know, what's the audience reacting like and that sort of thing there. And because it's a mixing studio remote show, whether you're in studio or you're remote, you've got a different experience. And unless you're sitting there with your phone, literally watching the feed in there, you'll have a different, if you're not in the studio watching that coming on the feeds, you probably won't see what's happening live. You won't see what's happening in the comments in there. So they are different experiences. We've had the occasional heckling. One of them was at a non-binary candidate by a transphobe, which was just like, why?
Why?
You know, it's like, you know, like these people go, can you not have the government in my business, but I want to stick my nose into yours when I don't like it? You know, we get those people. You know, we had that one that happened at one of them, and Jill did an absolute brilliant job isolating the person, got them out of there, and just go and, like, having to explain to them, it doesn't affect you.
Yeah. It's not your business.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, yeah. And it was because that particular candidate was open about being non-binary.
So how do you deal with it if it's a candidate who's being abusive about other candidates or about people or about, like, how do you deal with that? Do you, like, get them off the stage or
We've actually got it to that point. The interesting part is a lot of these candidates self-censor themselves and claim we've excluded them when we haven't. So that sometimes happens. But yeah, we've not actually got it to the point where people were very big. The most controversial one we got would have been on the stance on abortion. That is probably the most controversial one. We've not got... I mean, one of the things was in 2023, and now I wasn't the one doing the questions. That was off to Jill. She did the questions. There were some of them was about the bath, about the sexuality stuff and the bathroom stuff and all there that were in there. In the part where Jill lived with in New Zealand, they were very anti. In Wellington, we were very for it, and we were about, you know, different areas have different things. And it was interesting to see which candidates used their buttons on those questions. But most people were reasonably civil, and the one thing I've always said there was what we say when candidates were there, you know, be careful what you say, because the whole world is going to see it, and you know, if you say something you don't want to appear on the front page of the Post or the Herald, you know, or the Otago Daily Times
or the Whakatāne Beacon.
We're on page 3 on that one. If you don't want to end up on that, then don't say it. And like candidates, we were preparing for potential problematicness to happen that were internally flagged. Not, we didn't tell them that anything in that, but we never had a problem.
Yeah.
So we do note what could be potentially problematic candidates, but we've never got the worst, never got any of them out there. Like one, I will be honest with, Vision New Zealand. Our experience with them was out of whack with what the country was saying, because we were having these nice, polite, pleasant people turning up there. Some of them brought good audience numbers. The audience cheered on all candidates, so it looked, supportive of the show. You know, shaking hands, that sort of thing. There, and I walked down there with the parts of there. Well, these people, I'm happy to have a coffee around the table with. I don't know what the hell's going on outside of there. So it is a weird, it's a weird one. I don't know if we don't, like, have we just, we've never quite got to the most extremes, but we do prepare for the most extremes.
Do you think that this, because, you know, this, there's obviously been a massive political ideology, huge leap to the right. Do you think that is going to change the vibe for the show this year?
Potentially could, but it's also, there's the silent aspect that aren't vocal. So I do believe there will be some of the questions will be steered in certain directions and all that sort of stuff. But I mean, the thing is, we can go through, as long as it looks balanced and moderated, you tend to get the best out of the people, not the worst. And we say to the candidates, our job here is to show you at your best, not show you at your worst. And so they also take that on board as, you know, we're not here to sit there and make you look like a fool. Our aim is to show you at your best light. You know, and that also says to them, okay, well, you're at least not going out of your way to cause a problem. So they in turn take the steps in place to make them look the best. Because, you know, once you're on camera and you do something wrong, you know, it's stuck on the internet for the dirt, because we live stream, we don't just pre-record, we're live.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, and you don't want to sit there and have it and then clipped up and have it appear on One News literally a couple of hours later on the 10 p.m. news that we don't have. It's a weird one. We're always prepared, we just never experienced it. When I met you, I saw it in your eyes, though it would be like mine. Don't think I'll ever forget you. No, no, no. But those moments spent with you, till the sky is turning blue, I'll see you on the other side. We'll say a bittersweet goodbye tonight.
keep this high alive tonight. I'll see you in another life. Do it all again sometime. We'll say a bittersweet goodbye tonight. A bittersweet goodbye. Bittersweet goodbye. We'll say a bittersweet goodbye.
Summers from It's In The Ballot. It's In The Ballot uses gamified elements. How do the buttons work?
So each candidate, the first thing is, so at the show during the box questions, you go, so what box number would you like? And they will pick out a box, and then the question host will go over to the box, open up the box, read out the card, and sit there and do it. And when the person reads out the card, if another candidate wants to use the button cards, they raise their hand so that the host of the show can go, oh, yep, there's a button over there, and bang, you sit down and do it. And at the end of when the first candidates answer their question, they go, we also have a button from, you know, from Rosie, if the candidate's called Rosie, or, you know, from John, if they're John, and then that person does their button, and then the show continues on.
And they have a limited number of those. They can't just press it on
anything.
Yes,
they get two per show.
And one of them is to pass it over to someone else?
No, that's a different card again. So that's called a defer card. So you get two buttons, you get one defer. We encourage the people to use the buttons. We sit there and say to them for the defer. You can't use them, but you know what it means. You're not willing to answer the question.
Yeah, I was going to say, do people defer it to give... Now, I know that Jim's got a good answer for that. Let him use that question.
Sometimes,
or is it, I don't want to answer that?
Sometimes that happens. We had that happen in the Port Waikato by-election show, where it was the New Zealand Law candidate got the question and said, I might use my deferred card to send to the Animal Justice Party candidate, because it was a good candidate. And the Animal Justice Party candidate was going, I was about to use my button on the same one. So you get that sort of thing in there, where you might have people at like at different ends of the spectrum, but they, you know, they're all polite. They know each other, because when you stand in a race, you kind of know who your opponents are. You kind of know their speeches all by heart by the end of it. So they kind of know, yeah, well, actually, I know this candidate possibly could answer it better. But I'd say more of the times it's usually because the candidate doesn't want to answer the question, not because, say, John can give a better answer.
We find when we do election shows, or indeed just talk to politicians, that after about 10 minutes, they run out of their prepared material, and they actually have to start thinking, and we actually get a much more authentic thing. And I think that by having the sort of the random questions like that, maybe you're getting to that with a large group of people.
Yes, you are right. Yes, and some you do get that, because it's like you get a list of what the questions are, but you don't know what's going to come out of the box. Now, you can have pre-prepared answers, but you kind of don't know what's coming to it. And I would say they do come across more authentic, or like they might be somewhat prepared, but not prepared, if that makes sense. Like they might have bullet points on how they want to answer, but it's still semi off the cuff. So it does feel more authentic. And I also know with the way that system has gone, it means it stops the people from the audience. Like this is something I remember a lot is people would, like they want to make a big statement before they give their question. But because the questions are in the boxes and being pre-vetted, you don't get that. So you're literally going bang, 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 question, answer, question, answer, question, answer, question, answer. And it like keeps going in like good succession. So you're not hearing a statement go on for 5 minutes before you had a question.
Do you find that people actually listen to and answer the question, or are they like the experienced politicians that can use any question as a vehicle or an opening to whatever it was they wanted to talk about?
I'd say 95% of the time they answer the question to what's on the card. You've had occasionally some would deviate off it, but most of them don't. It's definitely different to watching the leaders debate on Channel 1 or Channel 3. It's way different from that.
Do you get lots of people, particularly I think for council elections, promising things that they or the council have very little control over?
Or the wrong council, yes. And one in the Tauranga mayoral debate, I sat there and said to one of the candidates at the end of her answer, I said, I hope you're going to Minister Simeon Brown and asking to sit down there and have the road users split into it, because up to an 18-ton bus pays the same road user, whether it's a mini 8-ton bus or a 16-ton large bus. You know, road users are the same across the board, because a lot of people, when they see empty bus seats, they go, inefficient service, not realising that having two sets of buses actually costs more money than running a large bus that might be empty 50% of the time, but full the other 50% of the time.
So how does the show challenge people if they say things which are, I'm going to double manufacturing in the city, or I'm going to bring a million tourists or things, and things that they have like no ability to do?
You ask them how they're going to actually deliver it. I've done things in there. Actually, I want to get a bit more detail. We kind of want to know, how are you going to do that? Yeah, and that throws them up. So you start hearing them actually talk about how they're, or they realise, actually, maybe that's not working. Now, I'm not sure if we've had one that's doubled manufacturing or tourists. I've not had that promise actually be made, like in that particular one there. But the one is the promising to lower rates, and it'll be like, so what line items are you removing our services in order to have that achieved? And a lot of them, that stumbles them completely.
Everybody says that they are going to somehow either reduce or put a cap on rates without reducing services, and by saying, somehow getting away with saying that they're going to be more efficient or they're going to be smarter use or something. And that never gets questioned.
Yeah, and so our one is, well, how are you going to do it? And, I mean, the other thing we have also do at the beginning of the show is we do the questions we think you'll be asking after watching the show. And sometimes if you know you've got those candidates there, you can put something like that in the bit of it and go, and in order to sit there and help lower your rates bill, will you soon have to sit down there and do your bit for digging up the road for the new piece of pipe? And that really, and that sits down there and kind of like, off kilters a few things that can get in there, because that stuff is not announced in advance. And in some cases, some of those questions, those things might have been half an hour before the show. And so sometimes if we sit there and have an idea of like candidates and what they could or could not be, and you can put something crafty in that kind of disables them before they've even got the chance to actually have the question asked. And also like one that I'd actually think should be up there at the moment. For rate caps, should it be based on the price of rebar, steel and concrete? Or should it be the price of the price inflation of a block of butter? Or should it be the price inflation of a block of vegan butter, which is hardly anything in the last 12 months? And I can tell you right now, they're wanted on the vegan butter percentage, but reality leaders, it should be based on the price of concrete, steel and rebar, not the price of vegan or cow's milk butter.
my favorite answer to people who talk about how they're going to reduce rates is if everybody had been able to reduce rates when they have promised that that's what they were going to do, we'd currently be being paid to live in our towns.
I love that.
Because that's the reality, isn't it? Every single year, somebody promises they're going to reduce rates. They get elected to the council, and then they go, oh, crap, we actually can't reduce rates. That's impossible.
They don't realise it's on the revenue. It's based on the expenditure of how rates are calculated, not based on a percentage of the land value.
Yeah.
And I hate to know what they think that percentage is, because if we're sitting and look at Wellington, you might be between 1% and 2%.
That's mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
A lot of the difficult stuff that comes up around a council table or in Parliament is things that people don't actually have a predetermined position on. And that's when it really comes down to you're really voting for somebody who you think is going to make a good decision in that circumstance. Do you get at that? Do you get at a feeling of people's values or critical decision making or something?
I would say get vibes from the candidates. You do get that. Like I remember some of the shows, like where I politically sit, I would traditionally have not voted for that candidate or something, but I would say they were the best candidate to run it. Like in Hamilton West, we rated the best candidate from the crew was the ACT candidate, Susan Stevenson. And it wasn't because we liked the party policies. It just felt like she would actually be the right person in Parliament because her life experiences would generate a more balanced approach than just someone who's only ever worked in one sector in their life and hasn't had much life experience in between. So you do get that, but I mean, you can get that vibe as an audience member watching in as well. So if you're someone who has, you know, you can certainly go, oh yeah, this person has good life experience. Oh, this person hasn't. You can see that with the way they approach their questions as well.
You say that the crew like rated them. Is that just like when you're sitting around having a pizza afterwards, or is that part of the
thing? Yeah. Or when we're driving back, we go, so who was the best person that night? And quite often, we're about 80-90% in agreement.
How does the show end? It doesn't end with a winner. It must, like, how do you bring that back to the, it's in the bag? How do you not, you know, you need to finish with a big celebration.
Well, we don't. No, because the election hasn't happened yet. Yeah. So no one's actually ever contemplated the show that way before. Because our one is, it's who's the best person to vote for is what. So that's the end of it. And for local body elections, we go to more detail to explain the voting system, because some councils were STV, some councils are first past the post. Some councils are multi-member wards, some councils aren't, and that sort of thing. And explain some ins and outs for the Tauranga special by-election. We explain them how STV worked and how to use your preferences, because whoever would be the top candidate will have at least 50% of the vote plus one of the redistributed results at the end of it. But I wouldn't sit there and say you'd consider it as a winner. I'd consider that's more of like, that's an internal thing that we don't say because we don't want to unintentionally sway votes in different directions, because we've got to be seen as being politically neutral in the process.
Have you got an STV explanation off Pat?
Well, that's usually me explaining it. it depends. Because you've got to slightly adjust it to per show. Like a good example is, in Wellington, for STV, the best way to describe it is who will be elected councils will have 26% of the first preference and the redistributed votes to get elected for a free member ward, because STV is basically the number of seats available plus one divided by that number, and that percentage, and the quota is that percentage plus one. And so that would be something you'd describe for most of Wellington wards, but except for the one I live in, which is the Duke Council Award, which you'd need 34% of the vote plus one to get in. But if you get situations like Hamilton, where they've got six councillors, they only effectively need 15% of the first preference votes or redistributed votes to get across the line.
Mayor and Whakatane won on something. Oh, sorry, Sam. Our Mayor and Whakatane won last election on something like 14% of the votes.
And I gather that was first preferences.
We're first past the post.
Oh, you first past the post. So you must have a crowded field.
Yeah. We had a huge field. We had a huge field of people who were, it was just so interesting. But, he just won and on such a low number.
That's the problem we have here. Yeah, whereas in Wellington, if we look at the last local body elections, the STV redistributions, basically filtered out right through there where Tory Whanau ended up becoming first place, Andy Foster became second. On the night, it was Ray Chung. After the last day votings and specials, Paul Eagle jumped ahead of Ray Chung. But effectively, the STV part did its job to make sure that the best person got for the job. And in 2019 with STV, Justin Lester was winning the race until the final iteration, which put Andy Foster on top by, I think it was like 37 votes. Yeah, so STV does have its positives. But I'm looking at right now the Whakatane District Council on their website. It looks like there's six candidates. Upper Hutt City Council's also got six candidates. They're first past the post council. Hutt City Council's got four candidates. They're first past the post council. So it's going to be interesting. Whereas, you've got Wellington, got Kapiti Coast, got Porirua, got Palms North. They all use STV. So it'll be like, the second, third, or fourth preferences will redistribute. Or the interesting thing from 2022 was Anita Baker was elected on the first iteration with more votes than her three challenges combined. So that did happen in Porirua last local body election.
I have some questions to end the show and not very much time, so we're going to have to riddle. What is the biggest success you've had in the last couple of years?
When you say success, are we talking views or are we talking audience numbers?
Or you can say anything numbers? You like. It can be that you had a particularly delicious bagel.
At Tauranga City Council mayoral race, where we had 13 out of the 15 candidates there, and we managed to somehow pull it off, and I was nervous at the start of the show. But that we had that with a full audience in there, that we were telling people to bring your fold-out chairs from home, because we ended up having more people there than seats available. And I'll call that our most successful one, and it's also our most watched It's in the Ballot show.
What's your superpower?
Bringing calm to the situation.
So what motivates you? What gets you out of bed in the morning?
Oh, meeting the various different people in the world. I mean, if it sits in the ballot, it's meeting brilliant candidates. And I'd say we meet more brilliant candidates than we meet scumbags. But you do meet both. It's getting to see the different people and the different things there, or seeing the different parts of the world. I mean, like for me on a personal level, I see my 97-year-old grandmother once a week. That's something I always look forward to. It's something I go out of my way to make sure happens, and she looks forward to it as well.
If you could wave a magic wand and have a miracle occur, what would you have happen?
I'm tossed up between ending homelessness and ending food poverty.
What's the smallest thing that we could do that would make the biggest difference for either or both of those?
For the case of food, we could look at having our little community pantries around the place where people put their excess produce in there and other people collect it. We could always put lemon trees and orange trees and jura trees all down the berms of streets all over the place. That would be fun. It would be a bit annoying for one of my jobs of delivering the paper, doing the paper run, but that could always do it. Because I remember my paper run days as a kid, and there was always a fajar tree that we used to rake fajars off while I was walking around.
Maybe that could be a question to stick into the bag. What will you do to bring back the fajar trees?
Because they used to be all over the place. Well, lemon trees were the same as well.
And lastly, do you have any advice for our listeners?
make sure you go out and vote, and make sure you get yourself informed before voting, so you know what your candidates are standing for, and use the brilliant resources that many different organisations out there use to help voters be informed.
Thank you for that.
Kia ora. Sam, we get to speak to some extraordinary people doing extraordinary things, but I think that you are doing something even outside of extraordinary. I love this. I love that you are enabling people with the ability to make super informed choices about who best represents them and the things that matter to them. It is a beautiful thing that you do. And for our listeners, this is pretty much funded out of Sam's pocket. So if you are wanting to find some way that to engage in the process of enabling better democracy, and you've got a little bit of Pootie spare, then you could reach out to Sam, and it's in the ballot. There's a give a little, which we will put on the link for put the link for the give a little on the chat from the link to the show.
And if you're looking at going to our shows on Eventbrite, choose a koha ticket over the free tickets so that you can give back to it. So that's also an option. And if you're out there, we're happy to take a cash donation or a donation that directly deposited into the It's in the Ballot bank account.
Kia ora, Sam.
Kia ora.
Thank you very much everything you do.
I'm going to have to resist naming this podcast More Brilliant Candidates Than Scumbags.
The mist is flying, hearts ignite. Truth and lies will take the mic. The clock is ticking, make your choice. Who you hear, the people's voice. It's in the ballot, it's in your hand. The future's calling, take a stand. One vote, one dream, one destiny. Who will wear the crown in 2025? We'll see. Words are weapons, wielded strong, debates get heated, right or wrong. They paint the town with visions bold. Who will rise, who will fold? Shadows linger, truth or spin. The battle rages from within. One by one they state their case, but only one can win this race. Who will lead this, win this race? It's in the ballot, it's in your hand. The future's calling, take a stand. One vote, one dream, one destiny. Who will wear the crown in 2025? We'll see. Ooh, we'll see. Promises fly and hearts ignite. Truth and lies will take a mic. The clock is ticking, make your choice. Will you hear the people's voice? It's in the ballot, it's in your hand. The future's calling, take a stand. One vote, one dream, one destiny. Who will wear the crown in 2025? We'll see. Words are weapons, wielded strong, debates get heated, right or wrong. They paint the town with visions bold. Who will rise, who will fold? Shadows linger, truth or spin. The battle rages from within. One by one they speak their case, but only one can win this race. Win this race. It's in the ballot, it's in your hand. The future's calling, take a stand. One vote, one dream, one destiny. Who'll wear the crown in 2025? We'll see.
You're listening to Going Bubbles, for the conversation to people in their bubbles, their safe spaces around the world. We're broadcast on Cover Access Radio every Wednesday afternoon, free on stream and podcast on oar.org.nz. We're joined today by Sam Summers from It's in the Ballot. With a little help there, I'm Tim Newman. That is Going Bubbles. We hope you enjoyed the show. Matiwa.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.